right, if only I could get the staff. Somebody, that was the titles.
Oh.
Good grief, man. Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Admittedly, it's been a heck of a day. In fact, it's been a heck of a 24 hours. So how is everybody? Let me know in the chat right now. We've got lots to talk about. It was going to be a quiet weekend, wasn't it, Mike? So how come you cut Jonathan off? What did you do with him? I don't think anybody knows.
Oh, that's fine then. What was playing before was Jonathan's talking about Judaism.
Oh, poor Jonathan.
Yes, and you cut right into him for the live show.
Sorry about that, Jonathan. But, you know, to make up for it, Mike cut straight through my intro.
I'm going to take the dog and leave you to her.
Professionalism. She's fine. She's asleep. She's had a busy day as well.
I'm going to wake her up.
Oh, you're just mean. She doesn't wake you up like that. Oh, actually, she does, doesn't she? So how are we? Right. All good. Went for a nice walk this afternoon and did your home workout. Do you know, I thought you were going to say homework then. See, I have this image that Jonathan's 18. But it's all right, Jonathan. I have this image. I'm 18 as well. Still doing okay. You're still on lockdown. I heard, Paul, in Sydney, it was going well. I heard Australia were doing nicely. We've literally just been told in the last 90 minutes by... now, you know everybody's dropping with it in the government. No great loss, to be honest. But Boris is poorly and everybody else is poorly. So they only sent two people in today. Now, that's most unfortunate because I've been calling it the Three Stooges show, 5 o'clock every day. But today, only two Stooges. So they rolled out the deputy health person, whoever she is. She's a medical advisor. So she's like more inclined to tell the truth than a politician. Yeah. In answer to a question, she let slip basically house arrest 6 months. To say she got cross-questioned on that was an understatement. The official line is Boris is reviewing it in 2 weeks. But she's letting slip the truth, which is basically it's going to depend on how people behave. Well, in that vein, not very well. It will be reviewed at the 3 week mark. But to be certain, brace yourselves for 6 months. I looked at that. I looked at my shopping list and I thought, definitely going to need those toilet rolls. I know everybody said don't panic buy, but, you know, a few wouldn't go amiss. So that's where we're at. So let me catch up. Deb, CQ, CQ, Deb. So I'm still not getting the message. Jonathan, I'm wondering if you're thinking about the same story I am. Words failed me on this one. The police, who literally, come on, you know, they've got more to worry about. They have got more to do than this. Were called out. Was it in Leeds, Jonathan? That party? Let me find it. It didn't say. Hang on. Where was it? Coronavirus story. Police break up massive karaoke party during the UK lockdown. There is a picture underneath that of a table absolutely stacked with food. Where did they get all that food? Derbyshire it was. There you go. And the story says the British public have been under an unprecedented lockdown for nearly a week, with people told to stay inside and avoid gatherings to help prevent the spread of the coronavirus. But the government measures weren't enough to stop 25 adults and children gathering for a massive karaoke party on Saturday night. Derbyshire police said they were in absolute shock when they visited the address before dispersing those in attendance and speaking with the organisers. It's been all over Twitter. So, yep, that's right. That's the one, Jonathan, I've just read out from that. It's just, I mean, seriously, really? I really wish this virus could work on IQ. I think that would solve a lot of the world's problems. I just read that and I thought, you've got to be kidding me. It's not just them. I mean, who are their neighbours? I'm assuming the neighbours reported them to the police. But, you know, what danger have they put their neighbours in with gatherings like that, while the rest of us are being responsible? Well, Paul in Ohio says, why they can't sort of be straightforward about all this. I know we're talking about politicians and that's not possible. They seem to have adopted this strategy of incrementally changing things day by day. They don't want to come out and say straight up, right, that's it, 6 months lockdown. Would we have more respect for them if they did? To be honest, you know, they're probably right. They'd probably be rioting on the streets. I'm completely laid back about this. I actually just replied to a comment in Slack. Let me get that comment, because it really is how I feel. And I'll tell you what Mike said last night. Where's that comment? What was it in? Was it in random? Oh, why can I never find anything? Hang on. I'll use this global search and see if it actually works. There's a good thing. I'll try it. Right. Put a word in. Did it find it? No, it didn't find it. Let me try a different variation of it. Oh, it found it this time. Right, I'm going to view that in the channel and read what I put. Yeah, Pete said yesterday, surely even your social life has to stop for lockdown. And I totally missed this because I was up to my eyes yesterday. Mike said we have a very active virtual social life, and I've just replied, I think I actually prefer a virtual social life. It stops those scary crooners creeping up behind the ladies and getting frisky in the hands department. 2 metres back, gents, and stay there. We went to a very nice hotel for a very nice event. It was probably now about 2 years ago. I think it was a Valentine's Day thing. And it wasn't the best meal, to be honest. Everybody else got served and we didn't. So they were very tight on the starters. Literally hours, we said just get started with everybody else. They were on their mains by the time our starters arrived. But they had this singer there and he wasn't taking the hint, seriously, was not taking the hint. So, virtual socials. Virtual socials work. I'll tell you all about our virtual social. So, let's catch up here. Jonathan's looking forward to his letter from Boris. Hope it comes an official Downing Street paper like the last one. I wonder about that, Jonathan. Got a funny story about that. We've got some friends and the mother of one of them is constantly writing to Boris. And she's deadly serious with these letters that she writes, but they are hysterical. She's one of these people who just says it as it is. And I bet when Boris gets these letters, he totally agrees. But there's no way he could ever express it in the way that she does. Well, she must have written 20 in the last 6 months. And she'll come in and she'll say, I've got another letter to post for my mother. I said, don't tell me, Boris. She said, yes, another one for Boris. But they are beyond hysterical. So I read that and I thought, oh, good grief. She's going to think he's written back, that he's got the sense and he's written back. So I put it in one of our message groups that all the family are in. And I put it in there and they just come back with like, LOLOL. She's going to be thrilled. Absolutely. I'm wondering if it will, Jonathan. I don't think they'd have that much notepaper. So I think it will look semi like it's official, but I don't think it's going to be the embossed stuff. So Paul says they've got insanity in the US. I must admit, I didn't see much of the news yesterday for reasons I'll explain. It was our crazy show last night, which was amazing. So I'll tell you all about that. But because of that, I didn't really catch up with much on the news. But I did about very early this morning, and I don't do mornings. Very early this morning, I did see this story that Boris hadn't put New York in lockdown. Now, I'm not there. I don't know. You've got far more news about the US than I do. But I was quite shocked. I thought, we'd been talking about how bad it was there, you know, and it is to protect lives. And a little missive about don't go out unless you have to. It doesn't work. We are on lockdown and we've still got imbeciles having karaoke parties. That did quite shock me. Is that link right? I can't get to it. It's telling me I've got a 403 error. I'll keep trying with it, but I'll whip back to the chat over here. Oh, yes, Jonathan's got the same problem. Yeah, I can't see that. Hello, Anthony. Hello. Right, we're discussing where we're at and we're discussing karaoke parties with 25 people and lots of food. They should have that food confiscated. They should have given it to the police. Mind you, if there's 25 people there, they could already be infected, so probably best to bin it. We've also had Tony Blair. Don't get me going. You know, all prime ministers should be locked in a room somewhere. You know, like the old Pope. You never hear from the guy. He's just locked up in Casa wherever. Never hear from him. I wish we could say the same about our previous prime ministers. This one thinks it's a good idea for global testing. I don't want to be tested. I haven't left the house since forever. Mike's only left the house to walk the dog. He has always been no closer than 25 yards to anybody. I'm not particularly comfortable with that, but he thinks it's a good idea. I thought, good way to get a national DNA database, isn't it? Not saying any more about that. So what else have I been up to? Yesterday was absolutely chaotic. Chaotic. But it was good. It was good. So yesterday we started off and I was unceremoniously awoken at stupid o'clock for me. So fair enough, it was after 9 o'clock, but that's not the point. For me, by the priest. More questions about this doing the mass thing. Good grief. But anyway, all of that was sorted and it was on its way, apparently, as you knew in last night's marooned at MacBite's headquarters. But I hadn't actually got the video at that stage. I was just waiting for it. And I had visions, given of, you know, how long the video was going to be, of how long it was going to take to upload and transfer it. In the meanwhile, he's on WhatsApp. Hurry up, hurry up. We're there yet, we're there yet. I thought, I'm an artist. I'm editing video. It could be a while. But as you know, we also had a 6 o'clock show yesterday. And at 7:30, we were heading into our party. Anyway, it did finally turn up. That was the good news. The video did finally turn up. Luckily, it didn't need much in the way of editing. So I'm going to try that tiny URL now, because it didn't like that one. Let's see if I can get there with that. That's looking hopeful. It's having a think about it. It's not getting there with that one either. What's the matter? Jonathan, can you get there? Tentv.com. Right, I'm going to try that one. Tentv.com. Let's see worldwide stupidity, like our stupidity. It looks like the entire site's down, because even if I put in 10tv.com, it's giving me a 403. Curious. We'll keep trying. We'll keep trying. Totally agree, this global testing thing. I have tried to follow it. I'm wondering if Pete's about. Maybe he can explain the logic of it, because I'm loathed if I get it. They're talking about, you know, global testing, but the thing is, you could test negative today and positive tomorrow. So are you tested every day? What's the thing with this? I can appreciate NHS staff, you know, medics being tested in that they are maybe self-isolating for a fortnight and then they're not working. But for all of us to be tested, it just seems weird to me. It does seem weird to me. It could be geographic, I guess. Jonathan, have you got a VPN you could try? I could turn mine on, but then that would upset the radio. So if you've got a VPN, you could try it that way and let us know. I'll try it later anyway. So video from the priest arrived. There I am trying to edit it after our show. So we finished about 7:10, didn't we? And I was going live again at 7:30, so at 20 minutes. And I'm looking at this video and I'm thinking, seriously, titles, credits, crunching, uploading, processing, YouTube account. Oh, my word. Didn't even have a YouTube account yesterday, didn't the priest? He has now. So I started editing it. Got it all together. Still editing, still processing and still editing the website to try and get a video where it needed to be in the middle of the homepage. We're using Divi. The homepage is incredibly complicated. It's very long. There's lots of different blocks in it. Could I get this video where I wanted it? Mike's trying. I'm trying. We're running a show and literally we were playing the music live. So if we put a song on, you know, by the time you'd gone into the song and you'd muted your microphone and you thought, right, where am I up to with this video? You literally had 2.5 minutes and then you were out of the song and you were doing a segue. You were taking live calls. You were talking to people. And we had 4 chat windows open. That was the start of my night last night. And all the time that's happening, I'm getting these messages from the priest saying, is it ready yet? Going to see it yet? What a night. Anyway, luckily, I did actually manage to do that. So later on, I'll give you the link now. But if you want to see our priest in action, now be warned, audio, not brilliant. I don't know if he even had our speaker system on. Knowing him, probably not. I will be talking to him about the audio for next week, but if you want to see our priest, he did a very good homily. That's the bit in the middle where he prattles. Then check out the link. It's worth it for a laugh. He so far had 220 views, I think, which I mean, that's not bad. He would probably get about 120 at the actual service. So he's actually done better than normal. But I'm figuring this could turn into a competition. Because across the main road, if Neil was here, he'd know exactly where I meant. The main road separates Sale, which is what our town is called, into Sale and an area called Sale Moor. So it's basically separated by this road. And the other priest who's been doing live streaming, he's live streaming Mass every day. Yeah, ours is being dragged kicking and screaming to record one once a week. But you see, this other guy's had far more views. He had 3,700 of his first Mass. So I'm thinking, not going to be happy. I think it could come to competition. And I'm sure there's going to be some that watch the one from the church that they're not at. Oh, it's going to get messy. It's going to get competitive, this. Okay. So Jonathan's saying that the VPN doesn't work and a traceroute fails. That's not on, is it? So how about a screenshot? We'll get there in the end. We'll see what this is in the end. So, yeah, he's been dragged kicking and screaming, and that's the result. I did the titles and credits. I processed the video. It's not going to look great either. When I got the video, I was expecting 4K. Silly me. I've no idea how old this iPad was he recorded it on. But when the video arrived, it was 640 by 480. Don't go there. So I made a silk purse out of a sow's ear. That was the best it was going to go. So that was the early evening. But then we went into our party. Now, if you recall, why were we having a party? We were having a party for a very good reason. Our party, Mike's been the president of our social group for a year. And we'd planned a party which would have been on Friday night. That wouldn't have gone down well with after hours, would it? But we'd planned a little bit of a party for the Friday night. But then we decided we'd go big and we'd have an entire weekend. Obviously, didn't happen. So that's why we were going live. But I said, let's make it a music show. So basically, literally a party where they could request music. We'd have a chat and the rest of it. We started at 7:30 and I said to Mike, they'll want to get to bed about 10:30 because obviously we're in British summertime now, which meant we lost an hour's sleep. So we carried on and we had, I think virtually everybody in the group was there at some point in some form, including people who are in the group, but they don't live close anymore. So they've moved. They've stayed part of the group, but they can't make it to a lot of the socials. But obviously, this is now no problem. So they were all there having a blast. You should have heard some of the songs that were requested. We started off with one of Mike's favourites, which was I Want to Break Free, for obvious reasons. Mike also requested Paul Hardcastle's 19, as in COVID-19. So we did that one. But then we got requests for all kinds of stuff. Stuff I'd never even heard of, some of it. There was We'll Meet Again, Vera Lynn, which actually worked really well. People were swaying along to that one. And some other sort of slowies at the beginning. So we said we'd do some slowies. And then we'd speed it up a bit with some more Queen. And we literally sort of went through the night, taking on what people wanted. Kim was with us. I do apologise for that guy called Tony, who said, "Who's Kim?" I thought, how rude. Who are you? So I do apologise for him. He's just very blunt. He was put right in the private chat, I can assure you. Yeah, it was a really good show. We really enjoyed it. So we carried on and we got to 10 o'clock and it was still buzzing, still very much buzzing. So we decided we'd carry on, you know, till 11 o'clock. So I'm mouthing to Mike, how about midnight? Call it a night at midnight. So yeah, call it a night at midnight. And that's where we were at. So we were heading up to midnight and we've got lots of fun and games that had already gone on. And now a couple joined us And they joined us late. And there was a very good reason why they joined us late. Quite a sad story. Nobody died. Well, yet. But it was a sad story because their son and his fiancée had been preparing to get married yesterday. The date had been set for, I think, almost a year. Definitely 10 months at least. And yesterday was the day. And they were already having a quiet wedding. So I was fingers crossed that they'd be able to. But then on Monday, that was it. Boris said no weddings and they were done. So what they did instead, they had a family game of Monopoly, which a virtual game of Monopoly that went on from where their son is, where their daughter is. So they did have fun, but that meant that they couldn't attend the party and they thought they'd miss it. But by the time they'd finished their virtual game of Monopoly, quick, get it on. Are they still there? And we were. So we were, they'd been with us probably about an hour as we headed up to midnight. So we said, you know, last orders at the bar, last orders from DJ Elaine. Don't finish, carry on. So I said to Mike, we'll do another hour. So we did another hour, which took us up to 1 o'clock. Obviously, at that point, the clocks went forward. So at 1 o'clock, I'm looking at my clock that's actually in front of me. You know, the one I showed you the other night, the one on the iPad. That's in front of me. And then instead of going to 1 o'clock, it went to 2 o'clock. So I thought that other hour was a good idea. But we carried on. And we finally finished a mammoth show. Music wise, I think it was 6 hours 40. At 3 o'clock in the morning. So we had a fabulous, fabulous night. It was amazing. It got silly. We called it the after party after midnight. So the songs that were requested, you know, there were some songs that were like odd songs. And then somebody said in the chat, do you remember Ernie, the fastest milkman in the West? Now, if you have the pleasure of being abroad, you may not have heard of Ernie, the fastest milkman in the West. There was a comedian in the 70s called Benny Hill, and it really was slapstick humour. So politically incorrect by today's standards. But he did do this song, and it was a chart hit, this song. And it's very much tongue-in-cheek humour. So I thought, I know that's in Spotify because I've used it in MacBytes. So I got it up and I keyed it up and I said, right, I want photos of you dancing. And I put Ernie, the fastest milkman in the West on. So we wanted video of one of our guys doing that. But his wife said, I'm sorry, I couldn't hold the camera still enough to do it. My sides are aching. I'm laughing that much. And there's tears running down my face just watching him. We actually went straight from Ernie, the fastest milkman in the West, into the old bazaar in Cairo. Who remembers that one? Oh, I'm glad Tony didn't bother you. Not a problem at all. We said, you know, it's for friends, family, whoever. It's unprecedented circumstances. I don't care what they think of us sharing it. That's what it's about. Some of them are a bit stuck in their ways and prickly, let's say, but that's their problem. That's their problem. You could have come on a private chat. Stick it. What we'll do next time, we'll have another chat window up because we had the chat window underneath. They all started posting in the WhatsApp group. We have a circle WhatsApp group. And why they were posting in the WhatsApp group was something was mentioned about the wedding that didn't go ahead. So they all started posting their wedding photos. We couldn't even recognise some of them, but it was so lovely. Everybody was sharing photos and stuff. Of course, that meant at the end of our mega mammoth party. So I'm so glad you enjoyed it, Paul and Kim. But at the end of our mega mammoth party, we went out to Lynyrd Skynyrd's Freebird, which is the favourite of one of the people that was with us until the very end. So we went out to that one and then we put some Paul Baloche on because I absolutely adore him. So we put an entire album on after that while Mike and I calmed down and sorted everything out. So we had all of that on there. What was I going to mention then? Totally lost my train of thought, as that usually happens, to be honest. But yeah, as we finished... He saw you in Slack. Excellent. Yeah, I tried to join the Slack chat. But what happened was we had half of them in one chat, half of them on WhatsApp. So as it got late, we decided we'd move the WhatsApp chat because there were people who have their phones on and they get notifications in WhatsApp. That's what I was telling you. And we were thinking there's a lot of chat gone on tonight. It turned out there was actually more chat went on last night in that group in from 7:30 to midnight, so 4.5 hours, than the last about 10 months. We got notified this morning. You love this one. We got notified this morning. Do you realise there were 505 chat notifications in Slack? Apparently so. And think yourself lucky, because half of it we took into another group. So around midnight, I created another group, and we call that the Brooklands 196 After Party. So there was probably about a dozen still in there. Anyway, a couple of them said, we're not going to bed until you've finished. But they were sitting there in the PJs. I do have photos of a lot of the dancing that was going on, because we played stuff like YMCA at the Time Warp, stuff you can definitely dance to. So we had that on, and they were posting pictures of that. It was an amazing night. I would highly recommend it. If you're in a social group and it's like, we can't meet up, just go virtual. It was amazing. It's absolutely amazing. We will at some point turn it into, I know I won't say on demand, because there was music in it, we can replay it and we can play live music. But the licensing restrictions are, we can't make the thing available on demand. We can only put it on replay, which is fair enough. We pay through the nose for the licensing, so fair enough. But we will put it on replay. So if you want to have the highlights of our fabulous night, I'll put the link up. You remember another group on the radio at the same time, but you can't remember the name. Oh, like Benny Hill. There was the Wurzels, Combined Harvester. That was a funny one. My uncle bought me one called Chirpa Chirpa Cheep Cheep. Jonathan's thinking we're barking at this stage. I was trying to think, was it a funny group? Was it like the Black Abbots or somebody like that? You're going to upload a PDF to the Slack. Excellent. They will not outwit us, Paul. They will not outwit us, because we want to see it. We talked about our stupidity here in the UK, which just gets more stupid by the minute. They're building hospitals for 4,000 people. They're building morgues for 12,000, and you think it's a good idea to have a party? Oh, natural selection. Really, really, really. And we've also had a consultant die here today, who'd been working on cases. He was only 55. A picture of him on Sky, and he's got such a lovely smile. These aren't the people that should be going, seriously. Now, what other stories have we got? We've got any good stories, because these pictures from Spain and Italy are just scary. The Baron Knights, that was another one, wasn't it? Oh, fabulous. I do remember them. What's his name? I can see his face, can't remember his name. Abbott. Russ Abbott. Didn't he do a show? Was he with the Baron Knights? Was he the front man? I'm a bit hazy because I was very, very young. You don't know what to think. Jonathan, we'll put all of these songs together and give you a playlist. Then you'll know why we're as barking as we are. Because in our youth, that was the rubbish they made us listen to. Oh, Chirpa Chirpa Cheep Cheep was the first 7-inch single anybody bought me. Luckily, when I started buying my own, it was decent stuff. Now, buying me decent stuff, at the time, this was considered cheesy. What I bought was considered cheesy. But it was ABBA. And I was right, because now they're classics. But back then, it was like, you don't like ABBA, do you? How wrong were you? Yeah, we had some good stuff. Right, okay. I'm going to use that link and go over there and get it. Oh, the Grumbleweeds! Remember them as well. Oh, this is fabulous. I'm going to save this chat, Anthony, and the next time we have a party, and you know, the way it's going, 6 months, yeah, it's going to be like next week. Next time we have a party, I'm going to play some songs from these ones. I'd totally forgotten about those. I should have done Combined Harvester, though. But what we'll probably do is we'll probably theme them into like summer songs and stuff, because, you know, June, we could still be there, couldn't we? Right, it's opening Slack. It's opening Slack, and there it is. Right. Oh, nice loaf of bread there. No, I mustn't get distracted. I'll be back to that loaf of bread. Right. Let me tell you, Master of Ocean Technology. For crying out loud. So they're trying to make much-needed sterilised surgical masks, and they can only do 10,000 a day. But the company could sterilise 160,000. And the logic for this is, Why are they doing that? I'm reading as I go, reading as I go. The FDA has decided not to support those who are risking their lives to save others. This is crazy. Is there a rationale for this? Is it political? The allowance of the sterilisation of 10,000 masks per day is limited to their Columbus headquarters. The company is not allowed to send its sterilisation technology to other states. Oh, now it's becoming a peeing contest, isn't it? Oh, for crying out loud. We've had complaints here that Dyson, this is the guy who makes the vacuum cleaners, has been given the contract to make ventilators. Apparently, he designed this ventilator in 10 days, but it isn't going to go into full production until, I think it's June, and then he's going to be making loads of them. Now, the reason that that's controversial is that he's a big donor, I think, to the Tory party. Wasn't he? Was he pro-Brexit or anti-Brexit? I literally cannot remember. But the other guy, I mean, tell you what has been going around that's been really good in the UK, and I've been making copious notes on it. There's a list going round of companies who have not been fair to their staff. Just to give you an idea what's going on, Tesco have given their staff 12 weeks paid holiday if they're vulnerable. Other companies have been drafting extra staff in, yet more companies have been saying that you can alter your holidays. You don't have to use your holiday for this thing. So they've been incredibly flexible with their staff. But certain people, and Wetherspoon's pub chain is one of the ones, they told their staff to take, you know, if you've got to come into work, but if you're not coming into work, then you've got to use it as unpaid leave. And if you want money, go and work for a supermarket. Well, I hope they go and work for a supermarket permanently, mate. That is appalling. The worst one of the lot. Yeah, I thought he was pro-Jonathan, and people were saying something about him taking jobs out of the UK anyway. I think he was pro, but it's very strange now. He's obviously a big donor to the Tory party. But the other one is Richard Branson, who's also richer than God. And he told people very early on in the airline part of his business that they should take 8 weeks unpaid leave. Now, somebody did the maths. Somebody got the Times Rich List and worked out his value and said that if he paid all of the staff for the 8 weeks, that the ones he wanted to take a holiday, and gave them a 10% bonus at the same time, it would impact his wealth by 1.4%. This is a time of national crisis. People are potentially dying themselves to help their neighbours, and he can't put 1.4% on the table. So now, late Friday, news broke, he wants a bailout from the government. Now, I'm liking the thing that's going around Facebook that's saying you can get back what you paid in tax, and don't let the door hit your backside on the way out, because none of them want to pay tax either. At least companies like Amazon, who've been crucified for the tax that they don't pay, they've virtually been conscripted. They're going to be, has anybody seen that today on the app, the Amazon app? Obviously, I live in the Amazon app. In the Amazon app, there was a message, and I've got it here. The message said, because I talked about this, I think I mentioned it with Kim and Tracy, about working alongside government and private companies working together, and I said I hadn't really seen it. Well, this is probably the first one. It was a big splash on their site today, and it said coronavirus COVID-19 testing kits. The government has asked Amazon to partner with them alongside other retailers, life science companies and academic institutions to aid in the fast track of testing for the coronavirus COVID-19. You can find the official press release here. We're using our logistics network to support the NHS with their plans, and further details will be sent out by the government in due course. We will update this page with more information as soon as it becomes available. We believe our role serving customers and the community during this time is a critical one, and we are committed to working closely with the government to identify ways in which we can support efforts to respond to the crisis. So they're doing that, putting their business on hold, and Richard Branson would very much like some of your hard-earned taxpayers' money. Yeah, Mike learned some new words from me when I heard that. It's obscene. It's disgusting. I used to think a lot of Richard Branson a few years ago. Then he put this scheme in place that he would only employ ex-cons. Now, I know ex-cons need jobs, but so do people who've never put a foot wrong in their entire life. And prejudice works both ways. He was saying that companies wouldn't employ ex-cons. Well, you're not employing non-ex-cons. Prejudice is prejudice, however you look at it. So I didn't agree with that. But now I could firmly line him up against a wall and shoot him along with a karaoke party. So I don't think I was surprised as you were, Anthony. But, you know, there's really no need for that. There is really no need for that. I thought he used to be one of the good guys, but I didn't agree with the first policy about the ex-cons, and I certainly can't agree with this. He's got more money than God. It's disgusting. It really is. Kim thinks Trump should set a light fire under the FDA. I actually have heard about the FDA quite a lot. Not sure if we have anything equivalent over here, but they seem a little bit reticent to approve anything, you know, like new drugs. That's my perception from the stories I hear about them. I can understand the role that they play and why it's needed, but they do seem to be more of the saying no variety, and that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. Wipe your contents from my recommendation. So the Amazon fulfillment area has several cases. Oh, dear. Yeah, what we're doing at the moment, he did open the door today. He did not open the door yesterday. He opened the door today and he put the parcel inside, but we're not touching it. So we're leaving it there for a good while. When we do touch it, we tend to pick it up with a towel wrap around it and then just take it out of the cardboard. The dustmen have already said if they see anybody on their rounds, they're telling them to clean the handles. They're all wearing gloves, but as they point out, they're moving upwards of 2,500 bins a day and they cannot make any guarantees. So they're asking you to clean the handles yourself and wear gloves when you bring it back in. Now, luckily, I happen to have, you know, the things you find in the house. I happen to have a supply of disposable gloves. They're very, very thin, like thin plastic bags. They're incredibly thin. But we bought them and then we lost them. So then we had to buy more, which turned out to be incredibly fortuitous. But the reason that we bought them in the first place was I'm allergic to penicillin. You're wondering why that involves gloves. But it does. I am very, very allergic to penicillin. And Mayer, a good few years ago, was given antibiotics. And they were penicillin based antibiotics. And I said to the vet, I'm allergic to penicillin. Are they coated with something so I can touch them? And he said, how allergic? And I said, deathly allergic. And he went, don't touch them. So I said, fair enough. He said, let somebody else give the dog the drugs. Yeah, that didn't end well. That did not end well. We practiced and it was comical to watch my mother and Mike attempt to get a pill up the dog. He was so clever. So the vet said, if all else fails, this is a pro tip and it will work. And he said, you put the pill in a straw, put the straw in the dog's mouth and blow. I thought, okay. Mike decided to try that. Yeah, let's just say Mike, it's thankful that Mike's not allergic to penicillin because the dog got it blown back down Mike way faster than Mike got it blown down the dog. So that left me sat there saying, look, I'll do it. And everybody saying, no, you can't touch these pills. So I said, no, but it's all in the technique. So I got these very thin gloves to give pills to our boy. And the technique was, as you're looking at the dog, left thumb in his jaws. You with the pad of your thumb pushing upwards, right fingers, pill between the main two fingers, straight down his throat. You could actually tickle his vocal cords on the way down. It went that far. Then close his mouth and leave it there until he swallows. Because a lot of the time when he had had other pills that weren't as important as these antibiotics, he literally, I don't know where he put it. But he would walk up the road and about 100 yards into his walk, Mike would say he spat the pill out. Like, he had that 20 minutes ago, I know. So you really did have to make sure that he took them. And because of that, we've got these gloves. So I'm going to suggest to Mike that he puts a pair of these gloves on when he brings the bins in and then just throws them away. Hopefully we will have enough gloves for that. But that's why we have a lot of gloves. Didn't Jeff Bezos set up a charity for people to donate to cover staff wages, though? Do you know, that wouldn't surprise me. He's another one richer than God. There's no need for this. A relief fund. He should be paying the staff. Oh, these companies. Thing is, with companies like Amazon, what choice have you got? Because they've killed every other store. Unless there's a radical change after this, and the longer it goes on, the more chance there is of that, I guess. Unless there's a radical change, it'll all just go back and we'll be at this again. I hope there is a radical change. I really do. Totally agree with that, Anthony. He says, I work for a charity and you often find people with the least give the most. Absolutely. You see that so often. They're just so generous with things. We found that this year. We've been raising money for the guide dogs. And, you know, you get some from some people and you think, oh, that's really kind. And then you get a massive donation. You think they can't afford this, but they won't take a penny back. Oh, no, no. I had a little raffle or I had a coffee morning and people gave me some money. They've been amazing. They've been amazing. Up the dog. Oh, yes. He did not like pills. He didn't like anything medical. He didn't like anything medical, full stop. The worst time I had with him was nothing like that. And I didn't have gloves on for this one, but that was actually just as well, to be honest. The worst time with him by a mile was he went out. And this is actually happening again because it's coming into spring. He went out for a walk in the morning with Mike while I was doing something else. We brought him back and then Mike and I were heading out to lunch. And Mum was looking after him. Anyway, he was in the conservatory when we came back and I said, what have you been doing? And obviously, bright white dog, there was a black dot on his face and I thought he'd been in the garden. I mean, he ripped a chunk of his own fur out, aged about 8 weeks, when he decided it was a good idea to tackle a rose bush. So I thought, where have you been now? And as I got nearer, I could see this like dark spot. And I said, that's not dirt. It's an insect of some description. I said, oh, my good grief, it's a tick. Now, when I say when we came back, we ended up not having the lunch. I cannot remember what the problem was. Either the restaurant was shut or friends didn't turn up or something. There was a reason we didn't end up eating. So thankfully, we came back early. So I'm looking at this thing and it was on his head, sort of above his eyes. But then as I looked, he had another one. And this one was right next to his eyeball. Just underneath his eyelashes. It was that close. It was terrifying. And with a tick, if you just pull, you'll pull the body off. Hope nobody's eating. You'll pull the body off, but the bit that's actually stuck is like two prongs in the head and you won't take the head. If you don't take the head, you've done no good. So I'm looking at these two ticks and I'm like, I might get the top one off, but there's no way I can get that near his eyeball. So I did the reasonable thing. You know, like when you've got toothache and you do everything but go to the dentist. I went straight to source. I rang the vet. I explained what was going on. And with it being a Saturday, the vet was shut. And he said, oh, it'll be fine. There's a trick with that. So I thought, oh, good. Tell me what the trick is. You'll love this. Get a lighter and burn it off. I was speechless. I thought, have you seen the fur on my dog? It'd go up like a Christmas tree. I said, It's right next to his eyeball. Oh, it'll be fine. I thought, okay. He said, let me know if you've got any problems. And off he went. I thought, well, thanks for that. Remind me again why I'm paying you. Yes, yes, burn it off. So I came off the phone and my mum said, right, what do we do? What do we do? And I looked at her and I said, you better sit down. I thought she'd go orbital. So I told her she went orbital. She said, you can't do that. I said, no, I can't do that. I said, I'm going to need another plan, aren't I? Mike, internet. So I Googled it, see what you could do. One good trick is to cover the tick in Vaseline and it stops the oxygen supply to it, the air supply to it. So it will die. But I didn't want to leave it given where it was because I thought it could go clean through the bottom of his eyelid. And this could cause serious harm. So I covered it with Vaseline, as instructed, but I needed to make sure, as I pulled it out, that I got the head. Now, Mayo was not cooperative on a good day. Me getting that close to his eyeball with anything was going to be dangerous. So I decided I'd go at it with a pair of tweezers. I managed to get them out, both of them. We put them on a tissue, and then I'm doing an autopsy on them to make sure the entire head and the two prongs are there, and they were. So we actually wrapped them up in tissue paper, not as a souvenir, just in case he took really bad, like with like Lyme disease or something, that we could take the actual tick in so they would know which tick it was. By this stage, dog not talking to me. Exactly, Jonathan. He'd just gone up, I'm telling you. It would have been criminal. A lighted cig to its backside. Not given where it was, Tracy, trust me. It was far too close to his eye. I was terrified. So we managed to calm the dog down enough at this point. So then my dad came in. We regaled him with the tale of what had gone on. And he's like, oh, poor lamb. Well, Maya went to him because he didn't want a bar of us three. So my dad's stroking him everything and he's rubbing him behind the ears and all over the head. And he said, he's got a lump here. I thought, oh! So I dived over. He only had a third tick, didn't he? Which, luckily, my dad had found. Lucky for two reasons. Then Maya hated him as well. So there wasn't a favourite one in the house. And it meant that I could get it out. So we did actually get all three of them out. I think if it's a short-haired dog and they're compliant, then a light cigarette might work, but not on a dog that's absolutely terrified, doesn't want you near him, and his fur was about 5 inches long. Yeah, so we did it the other way. But we've been incredibly careful ever since not to walk him anywhere that he could get anything like that. And Lola's the same. Hence, when she's let off and she ends up in a ditch covered in mud from head to foot, it's not particularly good. The same park where he picked up these ticks, and that was a good few years ago, I'll admit. I went walking a couple of summers ago. We were out with Lola and Ollie. And we walked under some trees. It was darkish, but it was a bright, sunshiny day. About 3 days later, I got like a spot just on my chest, under my chin, probably about 5 inches under my chin. And I'm like, this is itchy, itches. And it grew and grew into a huge red patch with the most agonising pain in the middle of it. And I had no idea what it was. I thought, you know, is it something that needs dealing with, or is it just an insect bite? I thought, I know it wasn't a tick, but I had no idea. Well, it got worse and worse. And by this stage, it was the weekend. I'm putting all kinds of stuff on it to try and help it, to ease the pain of it. And whatever I put on, one was some kind of insect thing. That made it worse. So after about a week, it started to improve a bit. Then it started to get worse again. I wonder if I need to see it. And I'm online trying to look at photographs of bites, trying to find one that looked the same. I couldn't find one that looked identical. But luckily, I do have a supply of antibiotics if necessary, but not necessarily from a doctor. Don't ask. Don't need to know anymore. So I diagnosed myself and I took some antibiotics and I managed to clear it up. But it did leave like a red mark. So then I ended up at the dentist. Now, not for treatment. Oh, no, only a checkup. Passed with flying colours. So he said, how are you? So I said, yeah, not bad. I said, but they've got this nasty bite. And I described what it looked like. And he had a look. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, that's a horsefly bite. A what? I had no idea. But he said it can be really dangerous and you should really go to the doctors or the hospital with it. Well, I don't do doctors or hospitals, do I? So, yeah, serious. You can get bitten by something just, it looks innocuous. I didn't even feel it. Didn't feel it. And that lasted for about 4 or 5 weeks. So, yes, it's dangerous out there on any occasion, much less the occasion we find ourselves in right now. Now, Jonathan mentioned, you're wondering what he mentioned now, aren't you, Jonathan? Jonathan mentioned that he had been on catch-up and he'd heard the show that Pete was on and that he was a legend. Totally agree. Wasn't it fascinating? You don't often get that long. When somebody's talking about the air ambulance, you get like 2 seconds on a news clip and then they're on to somebody's donkey's cousin. But this was everything. You could ask questions and it was long and it was great. So that was fantastic. I am still looking for the next willing volunteer. Nearly said victim then, but I meant volunteer. So if you've got a specialist area you'd like to come on and talk about, let me know. I know education was mentioned. I'm not actually sure, looking back at it, who volunteered who, if anybody. But I definitely remember that. So it could have been Neil, could have been Paul. Let me know. You'd like to come on and tell us all about it. Doesn't matter what the topic is. Any topic is grand, because we could be doing this for 6 months. Quick, quiz. If we did MacBites, marooned at MacBites headquarters for 6 months, how many shows would there be? Let's see who can get that one quickest. That one's not difficult. Oh, just to throw into it, it is a leap year. So, yeah, that. How many shows would there be? And would that be more or less than we have MacBites shows? So I'm going to wait for an answer for that one. Jonathan's got his calculator out. He's working it out right now. How many shows if we did it every day? Bang on right, Jonathan, 183. Could you cope with that? Could you cope with that? Could we cope with that? I think we'd be all right, she said. Voice getting incredibly high. More news. We had a concert on. Do you remember? I talked about it. It was The Music of ABBA, it was called. And it was at the Bridgewater Hall. And even though the Bridgewater pub, there would be less MacBites, there would. So we'd have to do something about that, wouldn't we, Jonathan? Oh, that's lovely, Kim. Excellent. Hello, Neil. We've been talking about you. Oh, 5 a.m. might be difficult. Good job it wasn't yesterday as well. Then it would have been 4 a.m. We really need to do something about that. We'll have to have an official replay at a set time for you. That might work. We were talking about volunteering, so I'm hoping that Paul, where he's saying I could, absolutely. Yep, if you've got a specialist topic to talk about, let me know. Put it in Slack. I should have a volunteering channel. That'd work, wouldn't it? Yes, that might work greatly. Anyway, Neil, if you have a specialist topic and you are prepared to get up early enough, we could pre-record it. We could pre-record it at a suitable hour for you. There you go, Neil. Can't say fairer than that. So let me know. Absolutely let me know. I think I can hear Mike's return. I'm wondering if he's letting Lola eat at this time. He probably is. Madam decided, I didn't finish the thing about what time I was going to bed, did I? So we sort of done by 4 o'clock and we're ready for bed. But when I actually got to sleep, it was 10 to five. Now, usually Lola would be up at some alarming time, but she was quite compliant. In fact, she decided she'd just get in bed with us. We obviously had to move to give her the blanket. We have a heated electric blanket. But once she was on the electric blanket, she was quite happy. Bina went out for a walk about 11:30. Right. Teaching compared to... Hang on, let me get back to the top. Whoa, down a bit. My job's teaching computing to sight impaired people. Oh, that'd be brilliant, Anthony. That would be amazing. I taught a gentleman with visual needs once, just the once. I was amazed watching him. He flew around it. It was a Windows computer, but he used JAWS. He was amazing. And he said he'd had training before, but he appreciated how difficult it was because you felt like you wanted to describe the screen and that wasn't going to do any good. So about an hour and a half in, he said, "This is the best training I've ever had. I'm loving it." Well, I thought it was lovely. That was really lovely. What's Lola got for dinner? Well, she's been very spoiled, a spoiled girl, Jonathan, because Nina's amazing. She has some pedigree chum and she has beef, chicken and lamb to choose from. I much prefer she doesn't have rabbit. That was just because I had a pet rabbit once. Rabbits are pets, they're not food. So Maya never ate rabbit in his entire life. And I'm putting Lola on that. So she'll either be having it in gravy or in jelly. Michael, show her some and then she'll get to pick. Once she's had that, she'll wait for a little bit. Then she'll toddle upstairs into the office. And next to me, I have a box. It's smallish, but it's a very thick cardboard box. Something came in it from Amazon. I think it was an Echo device. And in there, we have rodeo sticks, jumbones and dentist sticks. And she gets to pick one of those. Don't know if you've ever tried the dentist sticks on humans, Kim, but they're working pretty well on the dog. They smell revolting, but they're doing a pretty good job on the old teeth. I was impressed because I said to Mike, we're going to have to do something with the teeth. So we gave her this dentist stick. I said, we'll start on the dentist sticks first. I said, for about a month. I said, and then we'll have a look and see what actually needs doing. They've worked brilliantly, So Paul says, I could stand a marooned every day for 6 months. Excellent. You think about a specialist topic and let me know. Excellent. Well, we could do 6 months if it comes to that. I have to think, even if he said you can go out again now, the only people out there would be complete idiots. Because the rest of us would be thinking, Boris, I don't think it's safe yet, mate. I'm going to just leave it a few more weeks, if it's all the same with you. So the only ones out there would be people that I'd be dubious about anyway. But that's just me. That would be a great topic, wouldn't it, Jonathan? It'd be amazing, that. So Paul's still waking up. Excellent. Yep, I will take you up on that, Neil. Happy to talk about distance education for 5 to 11-year-olds. Brilliant. Brilliant. So Jonathan says, I remember my first time I met somebody who was blind as a kid and I was fascinated. I found Braille somewhere and touched the letters out. She knew them, obviously. I was amazed. I always find with Braille, I can't feel a thing. It must be me. I marvel at that. I do have a friend whose daughter is very seriously vision impaired, and she's always used Braille all her life. And somebody said to her, that must be so difficult, you know, that it's bumps that you read with. And she turned to this person and said, no more than reading squiggles on a page. I thought, she's right. She'd never actually seen the letters, so she wouldn't know. And that is so true. That is so true. We are so adaptable. Good screen reader. What, in your opinion, is the best text-to-speech engine? Good question. Good question. Jonathan wants to learn to sign at some point. Do you know Mark Dalton? I'm sure you used to know Mark Dalton. He's been doing signing for a good few years. I think he's up to level 2 or 3 or whatever the equivalent is. He's been putting a lot online socially about how he thinks every news broadcast should be signed. Now, the BBC News Channel do sign these press conferences that Boris and his cronies are doing, but many, many others don't. And given the fact that you can turn on the subtitles, it would be nice if they were signed. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, poor Kiva, you brush her teeth. Oh, dear. I think actually Lola would be quite compliant. Maya was not compliant in the slightest. Never, ever. The only person he would let near his teeth was my father. And that was only because back then, my dad did get quite weak towards the end. But back then, he was a strong fella. Maya couldn't actually get away. So he would just tolerate it. But he hated it. He really hated it. So, yeah, I'm going to have to get... I will be seeking advice, Kim, on the best toothbrush to get, because some of them look like a human toothbrush with just a long handle. They tend to have a big head on one end and a smaller head on the other. No instructions for, you know, how to use it in the best way. But the other type I've seen actually look like... difficult to explain. They've got a handle, and at the end of the handle there is a toothbrush, but instead of it being bristles pointing upwards, it's like a shape, a curved U shape, and the bristles are inside. So I presume what you do with that one, that's more obvious, you would actually sort of use it as a channel. You put the teeth in the channel. It's complicated, this. It is complicated. So yeah, I need to know about that. Braille's so small and close, it's amazing. It is. I literally couldn't feel the individual letters. I guess it's a bit like Morse code, like my dad just took to it. He was amazing with his Morse code. And now I can do some Morse code, because he used to like beep letters out to me and say, what letter was that? And I was very lucky that E, which was the beginning of and end of my name. So if he did 6 letters and it started with an E and ended in an E, I'd just guess the rest. But an E is just a D, just a dot, an E. So it's easy. But there is a lovely thing online that helps you with that. And it shows you that the dashes and dots weren't particularly random. It puts the dashes and dots, superimposes them over letters. And you can see that there is some kind of logic to it. I decided that my dad must have been an audio person, and that I was more of a visual person, because that made far more sense to me when I could visualise it. So Jonathan says, and the name Mark Dalton rings a bell, can't remember where from though. He used to have a podcast called, was it The Tech Lounge, Mike?
The Tech Lounge.
The Tech Lounge. Used to have a podcast. It was a video chat thing. You think he did it on a Friday? Not to be confused with The Mac Show, that's entirely different. And International Mac Podcast. Not that one. It was a different one. It's called The Tech Lounge. Long, long time ago, around 2009-ish. What people wants to learn has changed. When you first started, people wanted to learn on PCs. Now they want mobile devices. That is so true. I know our iOS has the best accessibility. How far off that is Android? because I know so many people, particularly the elderly people at the church, they don't want to invest the kind of money it would take in iOS. So that usually goes one of two ways. They either have a very old iOS device that unfortunately can't be updated with the new features, and that will be a hand-me-down from one of the family, or they go Android. And, you know, when you look at the price of an Android tablet, you can understand why. But unfortunately, not the best in the way of accessibility. Oh, I've got lots of questions about this now. Anthony, I'm full of questions now. I'm thinking not only Android devices, but also Fire tablets. Where are they on the sliding scale? Yeah, these are questions that we need to put together for the show. Right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get Mike to make sure that he whips through the chat and that we marry up topics with people, and then we can sort that out. And I think a prereq with Paul in Sydney might be the best idea. yeah, given the time difference, I think you're quite right. So we are, what are we now then? Are we 10 hours? 10 hours difference, that's a lot. That is a lot. Yeah, we'll do a prereq on that. We'll find somewhere. A finger brush. Ooh, right, I'll try and find one, Tracy. And is there any recommendation for toothpaste? The toothpaste we used to use, I was assured, tasted like chicken. I wonder who tasted it to find out. I know I certainly didn't. What was that called? Was it something back? Oh, dog toothpaste. Let me find it. Something back.
I don't know, but Maya didn't like it.
No, he didn't. We've already done that bit. Maya didn't like any of it. One's called Logic. That rings a bell. Logic Oral Hygiene Gel for Dogs was what we used on Maya. I think 90% of the tube's still there. He was that keen on it. But if there's anything better, we're happy to go for better. Is this still... a dog stuff still essential. They can have it here by Tuesday. Sadly, the days of 24-hour delivery have long gone. I think we're on to 2 to 3 days now. Virbac, that was the one. There's the other one. Virbac, V-I-R-B-A-C, Animal Health. Good grief. Enzymatic toothpaste. You learn a lot on Maroon, don't you? More than you ever want to know if you've not got a dog. Our seven is your four. That's criminal. That is criminal. but it's working for Mike. No, what we'll do is we'll... Can we do this, Mike? Is this possible with our new system? If we do, because I think I'm two shows behind now. Obviously didn't have a chance to edit yesterday's. But the feed will update shortly. Is it possible we could record a show, have it ready by like 11 o'clock our time, and then put
it
on? No, in the night. Yeah. Wouldn't help in the morning, would it? That wouldn't be much better for our Australian friends. And then have it play at a certain time. He's thinking about that. Oh, is that a real yes?
No, that's with some testing.
That's he's always waiting. That's Mike's yes. He's always a caveated yes. But hopefully we would be able to do it.
Which is why I've not swapped Brooklyn's over.
That's the one toothpaste. Excellent. So I'll get some of that. Good grief. How much? 43 grams for only £10.99. This is why you can't afford to waste it, Lola. I think she'd be quite compliant, don't you?
I think she would.
Yeah, I think she would. Maya, no. No. But she might be. We'll let you know. We'll let you know when we've acquired a toothbrush and toothpaste. At the moment, she's enjoying the dentist sticks. I've got a sneaking suspicion that's just their way of selling you more food for dogs. Could well be. But I need a finger brush. This is going to prove really fun. Unless you mean a brush where you use your finger. Oh, no. Pet toothbrushes. Horsky. Horsky. Six pet finger toothbrushes. There's also... They look criminal! Kim, good grief. If my dentist got those, I would run a mile. They look like little combs. But not when you hover over. Oh, that's strange. Right, okay, they're £6.99. I'll get some. If she doesn't like them, I'm blaming you, Kim. Oh, Sakiva loves it. Fair enough. Virbac. Okay, Virbac. Neil says, where are you, Mike?
Here.
I'm wondering if Neil's wondering if that's actually you. That's the Mike. And you're based here. Yeah, but you do train all over the world, don't you? Like, it's Singapore? All over the world. That's why we've got clocks lined up all over the world. But now we've got the clock. Loving the clock. Must admit, liking that. I managed to get the clock back on the right side of it. It's working very well. One issue I had that I didn't notice before the show was I'd closed Fantastical, and I used to get my notifications via Fantastical. Obviously, no notifications here. So I switched my notifications back to the default calendar app. Then I had the misfortune to open the default calendar app. It's vile. What I don't like about it is the way that the text for the appointments, unless that can be changed now. Ooh, let me have a look at that. The text for the appointments is black. So although you've got little coloured dots next to it, they're that small, I can barely see them. I thought there was an option to use coloured text. Can you find it, Mike? I know I couldn't. No, I can see accounts, I can see alerts, I can see advanced, but what I don't seem to see is where you can have the text of the appointment, the colour of the calendar that it's coming from. The colours are right, apart from the bin calendar. Don't go there. That is a black art.
I'm busy, Cal.
Yeah, no, in the official calendar app. I know you can do it in busy, Cal, but the default stock calendar app, all the text is black, it's incredibly tiny, and the dots even tinier.
Would you like to make calendar your default calendar app?
Not no on thanks. Pain of death. Not no on thanks. Pain of death. We give Barney dentist sticks. Yeah, that's the thing. Some of them not keen.
Lola's just had a jumbo bone.
She's had a jumbo bone. That means it's going to be a dentist stick later. Luckily, Amazon had dentist sticks on. And I didn't realise this until I was actually looking to purchase, that the dentist sticks come in different sizes and they're optimised for dogs of certain weights. It makes logical sense, you know, you wouldn't give a huge one to a tiny dog or a tiny one to a huge dog. But I didn't actually realise it was graded by weight on the packet until I was looking. So we looked at them and I thought, well, she might as well have that size. So we got the big size. But Amazon had this sale on. So I thought, well, I'll just buy the box. It'll be easier. Because otherwise you're going in and out of Tesco's and stuff. And that wasn't good even back then. So I bought this entire box. So there was... I'm not actually sure how many were in it, but there was a lot. They're in individual packets, so it's a huge brown cardboard box. But inside it, you have the individual packets of, I think it's four or six. About four or six. Denta. Let's try and get to see Denta sticks. There they are. Pedigree Denta sticks, daily oral dog treats, large. Dogs from 25 kilos upwards. So I bought one of these boxes. 112 sticks in it. So I thought that'll be fine. It'll last a while. They don't go off. Not a problem. Opened the packet. Said, look what I've got. Now, Maya loved anything new. Something he hadn't had before. Didn't even mind if it was edible. He was interested. So I presented Lola with this big denticle. She's going to love this. And she looked at me like, what's that? She took it off me and disappeared outside the office with it. When I went outside, nearly broke my foot. There it was. I thought, oh, I've got 111 of these left in a box and she doesn't like them. So I didn't bother giving her another one for a while. I thought I'll always find something to do with them. And about, that was very early after she'd arrived last October, that. But after about a good 5 to 6 weeks, I thought, well, I've got this one open, so I'll take the wrapper off it again and I'll get another one out. Nearly whipped my hand off for it. Loved them ever since. She's a bit of a princess, our girl, isn't she?
Yes.
But so worth it. So now she can't get enough of them. And I said, no, they're medicinal. Come on, one a day. Oh, Kim's got Kiva's grooming kit. Can't wait to see this. Oh, if it makes you feel any better, Kim, we have a couple of friends who have got a King Charles Spaniel. And Milo's a bit of a naughty one. A bit of a naughty lad is Milo. I did mention him on another show. He's the one who eats the knickers. He has been in intensive care after surgery that be more times than we can count. He dips the bins and he ate a pair of knickers, which was extricated and given back to the couple in a plastic bag. She was so ashamed to walk out. Well, Milo needed grooming. And obviously everybody's under house arrest and they're doing the decent thing. They got a pair of clippers and they've done him today. And they're quite pleased. They said, like, not only that they think they've done a really good job, it saved them quite a lot of money as well. The money that they can give the vet the next time he eats something. Have you got a picture that we could ping somewhere of that? Because they put a picture up and you could see all of the hair that they'd taken off.
Milo.
Yeah, the one with Milo being groomed. Oh, he has such a sad little face, Milo. I think it's the breed. But, you know, whenever she's posting something, it'll be a picture of him, like, in the vet with the blue tape round his foot or the cone of shame on. And he's got this little sad face in it. But today they were very happy.
I'll ping it to your black hole.
Well, why don't you just put it up on Droppler or somewhere? Because I don't know. I don't know how Droppler works. I've got an account. You told me to get one, but I've never used it since. Am I right, Mike?
There you go.
Yeah, there's the short version for
I'll
you.
I'll put it in the black hole.
You send it to me and I'll get it in the right place.
I don't know which one of these. That's Droppler, isn't it?
He doesn't even know which the icon is. Yeah, for crying out loud. See, it's that one.
It's that one.
So if you drop it on the icon,
right,
you'll get a notification if you've not turned them off.
I've turned
which
them off.
He has.
But it goes on the clipboard, so there we go. Then, see, I do know these things.
Oh, he actually listens to me. Who knew? We're on the brink of a domestic here.
I'm going to finish the washing up. Right.
No, you're not. You're staying there till the end of the show. Right, so there's
hopefully,
the picture.
Hopefully that was the link. Because I didn't test it first.
Hopefully he's not put a link up to something else.
No, it is. It's the right link.
That's why you have your notifications, Mike. Do you see what I have to work with? There's Milo. Look at his face. Actually, he doesn't look as sad there as I've seen him. Oh, that looks very... They're very professional groomery there, aren't they? They've got the plastic box with all the stuff in, and they've got a spray bottle, the clippers, the old combing thing, the deep comber, and yeah, he's looking all right. There were, now, what I will say, Kim, there were two of them. Right,
I'm just going back through the chat.
I'm just going to do this bit with Anthony. Anthony put Barney's food down, turned his nose up, poured it back into the container and then poured it back into the bowl and he ate it. There's some logic there.
I'm just catching up on the chat.
Yes.
And that story that Jonathan posted about the karaoke party, I read that whilst I was out.
Yeah, I was talking about that. I mean, words just fail you, don't they?
And the other one where Kim said that at their church they have... the scripture reading scrolling at the bottom.
That would be so cool.
Well, we said that you could have like a big scoreboard type plasma screen.
Tell me about it.
And then we could advertise things and
I know.
Get money for the roof.
I know. I want to put a donate button on there.
Today's Bible reading brought to you by...
Yeah. Or we could actually do the Bible readings. We've got a whole... I mean, you know how many people we have on Eucharist? 59 at the last count. Not all at once,
not
thankfully.
Today.
Not all at once. But we have a huge range of readers and they're amazing. They have just a beautiful tone with them. I reckon a good 95% of them could do a reading virtually. They could do it and record it and send it in and it would be... It would be great for the community because one of the problems with all of this fiasco, isn't it? I mean, we're putting a very positive spin on it. We're having a ball, aren't we, gang? At MacBites every day. Jonathan thinks it's Christmas. we could end up. We were doing the maths while you were out, Mike. If we go in lockdown for 6 months and there's a MacBites every day, the answer's 183, and that would be more than the other MacBites. So we've got to keep going with the other MacBites.
Right.
This was what was decided. But we're having a ball. But, you know, the churches aren't getting... this is where the synagogues have got a far better idea. We always say with a synagogue, it's a season ticket, isn't it? But with churches, you put into a basket every week. That's going to stop. Who's going to want to pass around a basket?
Pay as you go.
It's pay as you go. But that's not the point.
Well, when they can take contactless.
It would just take too long. I reckon they'll do away with it. I do. I think it'll be... you can if you choose, but this is funny. Jonathan will appreciate this. You see, at the synagogue, they have season tickets. It's a much better idea. But they do have a direct debit. But the thing is, just imagine that you sat there in church and the basket comes round and you're thinking, mine's gone direct debit, and you pass the basket on to the next person, you don't put anything in it. You get the daggers. No one actually thinks, oh, they've clearly done it by direct debit. It's all right, I'll pass the basket on. No, you get the daggers. So we were talking to this friend and she said, yeah, I did the direct debit thing, she said, but I couldn't take the dirty look. She said, so I'm putting double in. She went cashing on the day as well. But either everyone's going to have to go direct debit or we'll have to do contactless on the way in. But I think Jonathan's is a much better idea to do the season ticket thing. But I think it's going to be, you know, if it does go on for 6 months, how do you rebuild that community when, I mean, we're building a community online, but we're dragging our priests kicking and screaming into the 21st century. There are people who were struggling to get to Mass before who would love a Mass on video. So I hope he'll carry it on. I think he'll take some persuading, but I hope he'll carry it on. But there's other people, like, they might drift away. They might go to other churches.
They should give you a little card that you wave that says, I do direct debit.
They should.
And that way people will know.
You should have a little banner or a hat.
Yeah.
You see, this again, this is where Judaism has it right. Because they have the yarmulke. You could have a different coloured yarmulke if you're a direct debit. I'm going to suggest this to the priest. That would work.
There's a whole marketing thing in there.
Yep.
Pay for the roof fund.
Exactly. Exactly. I do fear that we'll never quite get back to where we were. So Deb said we've been doing direct debit for years. God, to say no dagger looks. I think it's because we generally don't here. It is a very, very primitive, and we still, I mean, some people they do envelopes that you can use now. If you use, they had envelopes years ago. I think that was more of a discretionary thing, you know, to be discreet. But the envelopes now are actually quite important. The envelopes themselves don't have your name on or anything, but they do have a code number in the corner. So everybody gets a box of envelopes and they have the dates on the front. If we had ours for next year, because we didn't pick them up before lockdown, so we actually haven't got one. Have you got any old ones?
Some left. Downstairs.
Oh, good. Hang on to them. Don't lose them. So we can show you what we mean. But we have these envelopes. They're all colour-coded. So they're colour-coded by church. So our last ones were pink. Sometimes they were orange. I think we've had yellow and there was been green as well.
Yeah, because we haven't finished the year, have we?
No, not really.
So we've still got them downstairs.
And purple. So in the locality, every church gets a different colour. The name of the church is on the front and this code number. And then underneath that, you've got the day, the date. And your code number is just allocated to you. So on it, it'll say like 112. And there'll be a master list that's kept in the safe so no one can actually link it up together and backfill how much you're giving. But the code number's important because it links up over the year with the amount that you give. And then the amount that you give, the government give the churches the tax back. It's called gift aid. So it's very important. So even if there was a button on the site to make a donation, I'm not sure if that's gift aidable. That would be a very interesting question. But without that, how on earth are we paying for the roof that we struggled so hard to get? Oh, questions, questions. You grew up on envelopes. Yeah, the envelopes are, we were on the count. We would count the money every sort of 4 to 6 weeks. And the envelopes, honestly, you'd get people who hadn't been for 3 weeks and would put in three separate envelopes. You'd get people who folded two envelopes up and put them inside another one. And then we got to the point where they changed our currency. I believe Canada did the same. Basically, we've got rubber money. It's like plastic. You can wash it and do all kinds of things with it. But it doesn't fold well. So you should see me trying to count £5 notes. Unlike old £5 notes that were paper-based and you could sort of, oh, you wouldn't do this now, lick your finger and then start flicking through them.
I was going to say, I wouldn't really like to be doing that job right now.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Luckily, we excused ourselves from that for other reasons before then. But when you try and count these rubber ones, they're just flying all over the table. Everybody has said the same. You know, did they actually speak to the people who use these things for purposes other than actually buying stuff? So Deborah's saying we moved from Perth to Sydney and yesterday went to three online services for the three different churches, the old ones and the current ones. Exhausting. That's how we were. It's like, I'm too tired for this. It's all right. It's available on demand. But I think it's so lovely. When our church, and of course our priest has two churches, So he's doing the mass at one, and that's going on video, but he isn't then dashing up to the other one. So they get one done in their church, the principle being the mass is the mass. So it's going on like that. But the first week of lockdown, there was nothing. He didn't have an on-demand mass, much less a live mass. And this couple of friends of ours were looking around for a mass that was live-streamed, and they found one coming live from the church that they got married in and the church their children had been baptised in. So they were loving it. But a lot of people have done that. They've gone to more than one mass. So they're loving it. Usually a mass that's got, you know, a church that's got some meaning for them, or a church that their friends go to or something like that. And as I said, ours has had over 200 odd views. So he's just going to have to get past his shyness, bless him. I wouldn't think he was shy, seriously. You use something like Virgin Money Giving, people can tick gift aid. Oh, that's a good idea. Of course, Virgin Money, Richard Branson, back there again. Do we trust Richard Branson with any kind of money whatsoever? Naughty Richard Branson. What was that one called that you found? That was like a PayPal thing, but for churches. And it was a different system entirely, because PayPal will take a cut. I didn't think they would if it was for a charity, but according to Mike, they still reserve the right to do that. I don't really know what's going on there, but we'll find out. But what was that other one called? It began with a T, didn't it? Was it Trinity? That would make sense.
Tithe.ly.
That's right, tithe.ly, which apparently is for churches. So Mike's going to have a look at that. So, end of a busy, busy weekend. We got a message from one of our friends last night. They'd been along to the thing last night, sent a message today that they'd enjoyed it so much. It was amazing. You're doing it again next Saturday. And I hope you enjoy your day of rest today. And we looked at each other and Mike went, I haven't got time to rest. It's been just as busy today when we finally managed to surface. I did actually get a little bit of sleep. I was quite surprised, but I did. We placed an order, do you remember? I'm sure we told you. We were bereft of food, and we managed to find some. It was the night we talked about the mash, smash makes mash, the ads night. And I said we'd ordered some dried potato flakes. Guess what? Royal Mail have them, and they've lost them. I can feel the old teeth on edge, on the teeth there.
Something's arrived downstairs.
Something's arrived downstairs, but I can assure you it's not 4 kilograms of dried potato.
Oh, right.
It's a box. I can't say what it is. It's a gift for a friend. Nearly said what it was then. She might be listening.
Oh, not my toffees then.
No, it's not your toffees. Oh. Tuesday.
Hmm.
Poor Mike. He's there with a bag yesterday and he said, that was my last sweet.
Yeah.
Look. Yeah, put it there. That's an empty bag. So I said, would you like me to order you some more? Thinking he'll be fine. He went, yes, please. So he has toffees on the way. You do realise Kimmy's now giving you the stink eye.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I'll brush my teeth, Kim.
I'll make sure he does. Toffees are lethal. When my teeth were really bad years and years ago and I was eating that, naughty. I could easily pull a tooth out. Soon as look at it.
Yeah.
I'm not going.
Pulling fillings out.
Yeah, I am not going back. I don't have fillings. I have replacements. You know, like on a car when you put alloy wheels on. That's what I have. I've replaced the ones that were absolutely useless, well, apart from one tooth at the back. I might show you the colour of it one day, but you probably need gas and air to see it. It's sort of a mahogany colour. I keep it there to remind me how fabulous the rest are. Plus the fact, I was assured, don't know if this was true, was he lying to me, Kim? But my dentist said, with the big teeth at the back, you're better off not actually replacing them. You're better off either putting up with them, just keep them for as long as they will, because they're tricky at the back, apparently. Although, having said that, I do have an implant at the back of the other side. But he assured me I was better off sticking with the one I had.
See, Kim eats toffees.
She's a logical dentist. She knows that toffees are desirable and they just cannot be avoided. But yeah. I am not going in to tell Craig I've pulled a tooth out because I was eating toffee.
Yes, dentists know, don't they?
They
have
do.
Have you been good? Have you eaten chocolate?
No.
No.
No, you say, with chocolate smeared across your face and your pockets full of wrappers.
It reminds me of that dog, the one with the face, the guilty face.
Oh, that picture of that dog is fabulous. It's amazing. Oh, good grief. Yes, my potatoes have gone. No, I don't think the toffees are bad as long as you brush, are they? But it's the fact that they could very easily pull a filling out. Luckily, I have no fillings left. None, all gone. Do you know, Kim will like this, I actually had a filling by choice once, many years ago, for somebody else. You're wondering how on earth that happened, aren't you? I am crazy. But I had a filling done for somebody else. How that worked was, if you think I'm bad with dentists, you should have met my mother. She had had a horrific experience when she was a child. Horrific. And that she was petrified. Well, eventually we managed to get her to the dentist. And obviously we have a National Health Service. We actually had one that paid for dental work back then. It was a long time ago. It was over 20 years ago. She went in with her eyes closed and she said, I'm not opening them till I'm outside. That was how bad she was. So we get her in there and she's sitting down and he said, well, I'll put a treatment plan together, but then it will have to go to this body that determines what level of treatment they'll pay for. So it was called the DPB, the Dental Practice Board. Parasites, don't get me going. And then we'll see what they've got to say. So we set up the treatment that was obviously going to be needed. I mean, pretty much we'd do it anyway, but that was where we were at. So we set up this treatment plan and booked her in for appointments and waited and waited and waited. Now, we went to see the DPB. They wanted to examine her, which they did, and then it will make an assessment. And it took that long that it was the day before this appointment. And he hadn't heard back, which meant the treatment wasn't approved. So he was like, I can't hold the appointment open, you know, mouths to feed, etc. I said, just hold it open till tomorrow. So he said, no, I can't do that. I said, look, I'll have a filling. And he went, what? I said, if it doesn't come through by tomorrow, I'll have a filling done. He said, you don't need a filling. I said, no, but I've got a metal alloy filling and I'll have it replaced for a white one. I'll pay for it just to keep the appointment open. Okay, he said. So I thought, fair enough. So this actually worked out quite well. We got there and they hadn't approved it. So to be honest, I thought, great, now I'm going in for optional dental treatment. I need therapy, never mind treatment. So I gets up there and I'm in the chair and I was still confident that, you know, it would come through and I wouldn't have to do it, but I did. So he's doing mine, and given the fact, obviously, when he's doing a filling, you can't say much, can you? But in between, I'll just give you this injection and the rest. I thought, I'm going to sweet talk him into doing my mum. And what she needed first, this appointment, was for taking out some teeth that needed removing. And of course, she was incredibly nervous about it. And it didn't help that they were making her wait. So in the midst of this treatment, while he's treating me and I'm going, I thought, I'm going to sweet talk him into doing it. So I'm there and I'm saying things to him like, well, I don't know why we can't do the first appointment. I said, because those teeth are going to have to come out. You know, you can't work around that. They'll at least have to give permission for that. And I could see I was working on him with his face. He was like, she's not wrong. She's not wrong. I said, you know, this is quite a long appointment. You know, you've pretty much finished this filling very quickly. You could numb her up while you're waiting for mine to kick in. I'll do it, he said. I dashed downstairs, grabbed my mum, dragged her upstairs and said, you've not got time to worry about it. Sit down, injection right now. Wait over there while I have mine done. And then he did. He finished it at the time. That is how I had a filling for somebody else. It was to keep the appointment open. So, no, I don't have any fillings that would dislodge with toffee, but I'm not trying it anyway. And Kim, that's exactly what my dentist says. If you must have toffee, sniff it and pass by. But if you must eat it, only suck it. Do not chew it. So that's the best practice, I think. Although Mike never had problems with toffees. Touch wood up to you. What did you do?
What did I do?
He's completely forgotten. What did you break a tooth on?
Oh, ice cream.
It wasn't even that frozen.
It wasn't frozen at all.
Bit into an ice cream. Oh dear, tooth. Needed a crown.
It's a very expensive ice cream.
Was I? Do you know? They asked a question, and I couldn't believe the question. Mike went in. They had a look at him. Like, yeah. Do you want to keep the tooth? Yeah. That's like taking a car in to have the wheel changed. Do you want to keep the car? But apparently it's so expensive and it's now all private, pretty much. I think kids get it free, don't they? Everybody else has to pay something. And if you go private, then a crown's probably about £600-700. Mm. Do you want to keep the tooth? We can always whip it out. Yeah, but what do I eat with? Didn't even get the question myself. Oh, I was good, wasn't I? My poor mother. But she said afterwards it was the best way because she'd gone in there and she was in the waiting room just waiting for me and she was calm. Now, she had very, very high blood pressure on a good day. So she didn't have time to worry. It was literally, can you come upstairs? I went down to get her. At that stage, I could just about still speak. And she was just sat in the corner with her eyes closed while he did the filling. And then he said, oh, well, Dad, do what I can without doing anything. And we won't tell them. I said, no, today's appointment was for me. We'll future date this when they approve it. I said, which they will. And he said, well, you seem confident. I said, oh, I'm confident. And they'd breached administrative rules, not rules like... I did administrative law in the UK, which is, it's a weird subject. It's where there might actually be nothing wrong with the decision that was taken, but the process was wrong. And I knew the process was wrong. They'd sent me a letter and they'd got some kind of award on the letterhead. And I looked up what it was. And then I spoke to the board who awarded this thing. They were mortified they were using it in the wrong way. So at that stage, I had blackmail material. So I thought, well, I don't care about what they do with this, but I'm going to get onto them and I'm going to tear them a new one and say, but, you know, I will be forced to do something about this unless you approve my mother's treatment. So within the week, it was all sorted. But yes, it did cost me a filling. However, that filling's still there in one piece. Unbelievable, that, isn't it? That would be 27-ish years ago. Anyway, that's been a good old natter, hasn't it? So I've got lots of names here with special topics. So when you think about your special topic, if you're still thinking, and then let me know. Other than that, ping me in Slack, volunteer, and I'll get Mike to put all the names down and then I'll get in touch. I'm thinking a prereq at a reasonable hour for the Aussies. Don't you think? Mm. That would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Right. So what have we got to do tomorrow? I would say we've got a little bit of time to rest, but...
I'm working.
Mike's working again. But they'll be a marooned. We've scheduled it. How many of you know about the calendar? That's a point, Mike. The calendar's not on MacBytes FM.
It's not.
It's not, no. It's on MacBytes. But if you go to macbytes.co.uk, there's a calendar. How many of you even look at the calendar? Because the calendar is the source of all truth. That calendar that you can look at on macbytes.co.uk under... Mike, where's the calendar?
After hours.
Oh, that's a good point, because there's more shows than that on it. Oh, we clearly need to revisit the website. Right, under after hours, there's a calendar. How many of you have even looked at that? Go on. Truth. You can subscribe to it or you can look at it online and it will tell you when the shows are in the right time frame. I'm not going to say zone. I think you can change it. It's Google Calendar. It's called MacBytes. You can either subscribe to it or view it on that page. We'll put that on MacBytes FM tonight. I wonder if we could filter it for marooned. That's a good idea. So the calendar's there. So follow along with that. Follow along with the calendar. Reason I mentioned that, we were putting the shows on it last night. So we are all marooned up to the day that Boris is thinking about it, which is Easter Sunday, the 12th of April. What else is the 12th of April? Ah, Jonathan, you came up with the topic, though. You wanted to look at how to transfer, didn't you, between iCloud and Google? Best move we ever made, in hindsight, but we did give it a lot of thought, but it was definitely the best move we ever made. The reason that we went in the end was there was an outage in iCloud for about 2 weeks, and I said to Mike, I'm done, I'm so done. And then finally, the Bing calendar works, which it never did on iCloud. Then finally, I moved my contacts, but Mike's not done his yet, have you?
No.
So we'll have to have a think about that. But yeah, it's not difficult. I've been moving them for years. There's a few gotchas, so happy to share the gotchas, and that will get you moved. iCloud to Google would be a good topic. Okay, I will sort that out. Mike will make an instant note of that. But when you sorted your calendars, you can make sure you've got this calendar. So we are up to the 12th of April, which is a very important day. I'm glad we've got a live show on the 12th of April. We had a live show on the 12th of April last year. It was a blast because it's our anniversary. How many years? He's doing quick maths. Hang on. Totally ignoring the question there.
I'm listening in my ear.
Really?
Yes.
I'll let him catch up then.
28.
Oh, straight away. Excellent. Yes, Mike and I have been together 28 years on the 12th of April. So we're going to have another online party. We had an online party last year. It was brilliant. Well, we're going to have another one this year. Can't say fairer than that. So it's been a complete blast. Hope you've enjoyed yourselves. Stay safe out there. Well, in fact, stay safe in there. Don't go out. If you do, unless you have to, don't go out. That's the approach we're taking. Everything's been delivered. So stay safe. It's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And both of us are going to see you, same time, same place, tomorrow. Love you lots, guys. See you tomorrow.